Chapter 19. The Sloth. Summer noticed the hunter first. She suddenly pulled away from me and leaped to her feet, staring fearfully toward the end of the rope bridge. The hunter was standing on the wooden platform. Rather than following us through the window and down the tree, she had taken the much safer route, through the hatch in the roof, the same way Summer and I had gone up. The moss-covered door hung open behind her. The hunter was in the shadow of the big tree there, the ski mask still pulled down over her face, the rifle in her hands. There was another staircase behind us, at the opposite end of the bridge, but it was too far away. We didn't have time to run to it. So Summer did the only thing she could think of. She grabbed the closest large object and threw it at the hunter. It turned out, the closest large object to us was the sloth. It was the same sloth we had startled earlier. The entire time we'd been up on the roof and dangling above the crocodile, it had gone a whole 2 feet along the branch and was now hanging right over the railing beside us. It went a lot faster once Summer threw it. Her aim was dead on. The sloth hurtled straight for the hunter's chest. The hunter instinctively dropped her rifle and caught the sloth. The sloth, even more startled now that it had flown for the first time in its life, instantly sank its claws into the hunter's arms. Meanwhile, the hundreds of moths that had been roosting in its fur took to the air, creating a living cloud. The hunter staggered backward, either from the pain of being clawed or the shock of suddenly finding a smelly, moth-infested mammal clinging to her, and slipped on her rifle. She crashed to the ground, and the sloth landed right on her face. The sloth gave a surprised bleat, the only sound I'd ever heard a sloth make in my life. The rifle skittered across the wooden platform, flew over the edge, and tumbled down into the rainforest. It caromed off a branch, spun through the air, and plopped right into the crocodile tank, where Didgeridoo, desperate to eat something besides a shoe and a tree branch, immediately pounced on it. Several of the other crocs lunged at it too, churning the water into froth as they battled for it. Now unarmed, the hunter shoved the sloth off her face and scrambled down the stairs from the platform, spitting out sloth hair as she went. By the time Summer and I made it off the wobbling rope bridge to the platform ourselves, the hunter was already 2 flights down and moving fast. She darted across the long bridge below us, cutting past where the crocs were fighting for her rifle, and disappeared under the cover of the trees. I started down the stairs after her, but Summer blocked my path. "No," she said firmly. "We faced enough danger today." "She's getting away," I argued. "Or she's preparing to ambush us. For all we know, she has another weapon, a knife or something." Summer whipped out her phone and told it, "Call security." She had a good point. Besides, I was wiped from our experience in the tree. Now that the adrenaline rush was over, I felt weak in the knees. I sagged against the railing of the platform while we waited for the phone to ring. "You threw a sloth at her," I said. "It was self-defense," Summer informed me. "I grabbed the closest thing I could find. I didn't even realize it was a sloth until I'd already thrown it. I thought it was a big old fruit or something." A dispatcher answered the phone.
"Security."
"This is Summer McCracken," Summer said. "I'm in World of Reptiles, and I've just been attacked by the hunter who's been trying to kill the rhino here. She's still in the building, but she's on the run. I need all available security here now."
"Is this a joke?" the security officer asked.
"No," Summer snapped. "It's really me. Check the caller ID if you need proof. And then get everyone out here right now. If the poacher gets away, I'll make sure my father knows it was your fault."
"Yes, ma'am,"
the security dispatcher said, cowed by Summer's threat.
"I'm sending out all available officers right now."
"Tell them to hurry," Summer said.
"Can you stay on the line?" the dispatcher asked, "in case we need more information?"
"Sure," Summer told her. The sloth was still lying on the platform near us. It appeared to be exhausted after its ordeal, having worked very hard for a sloth. Something dark was wadded up in one of its front claws. I knelt down to inspect it closer. It was part of the hunter's ski mask, a clump of cotton that must have torn off when the hunter had yanked the sloth off her face. I reached down to take it. The sloth, already on edge, attacked me. However, since it was a sloth, the attack wasn't very fast. Its arms swung at me in slow motion, claws extended. I probably had a minute to get out of the way, but I stepped aside quickly anyhow. The sloth bleated at me angrily. It wasn't very frightening. Instead, it looked like a perturbed teddy bear. The dispatcher came back on the line.
"Security is en route. Can you describe the perpetrator?" she asked.
"Sure," Summer replied. "She's wearing camouflage gear, a hunting jacket, gloves, a ski mask." "A torn ski mask," I corrected.
"A torn ski mask and boots," Summer said. "She had a rifle, but it kinda got eaten."
"I'm sorry," the dispatcher said.
"Did you say eaten?"
"Yes," Summer told her, "by a crocodile."
"A crocodile," the dispatcher repeated.
"A big one," Summer said.
"Right."
The dispatcher seemed to be taking a moment to make sense of this.
"Can you describe the perpetrator herself? Not merely what she's wearing. Height, weight, hair color, eyes, distinguishing birthmarks?"
Hold on." Summer looked at me blankly.
"What did she look like? I didn't get a good look at her."
I realized I hadn't either. I'd only seen the hunter in the dark, or the shadows, or with a sloth over her face. And she'd been wearing heavy clothes and a ski mask. I didn't even know the color of her skin.
"She's medium height, I think, and kind of skinny."
"Medium height and skinny," Summer reported.
"That's all you've got?"
the dispatcher asked, sounding somewhat annoyed. "She might have some claw marks on her from an angry sloth," Summer suggested helpfully.
"What's a sloth?" the dispatcher asked.
The sloth in question was coming at me again, slowly. It was crawling across the platform at about 2 miles an hour. I wasn't really worried about it, but I signaled Summer we should head down the stairs anyhow. The sloth had experienced enough excitement that night. Summer followed me down.
"A sloth," she repeated to the dispatcher. "It's a medium-sized tree-dwelling mammal. Lives in the rainforest. Hangs upside down its whole life."
"Aren't you making all this up?" the dispatcher asked.
"No," Summer said. "It's a real animal. You've never heard of one? You work at a zoo, for Pete's sake."
"Can you add anything else to the description of the hunter?" the dispatcher asked. "Like ethnicity?" Summer looked to me. I shook my head.
No, Summer said.
The dispatcher sighed. "That's not very helpful."
"It's a woman dressed in hunting gear with claw marks on her arm running away from World of Reptiles," Summer said angrily. "How many of those could there be? You know what'd be helpful? If your people got out here faster and caught the criminal."
"I told you there were agents en route," the dispatcher replied curtly.
"They will do their best, but it'd be useful to have a more accurate description. Clothes can be changed. Skin color can't."
Summer and I reached the long bridge that veered closest to the crocodile tank. The huge reptiles were no longer battling for the rifle. Either they had realized it wasn't prey, or one of them had swallowed it anyhow.
"Freeze!"
someone yelled. Summer and I did, reflexively putting our hands in the air. A security guard had entered the rainforest. It was Kevin, the exceptionally young guard we'd met at the entry booth the day before. He looked very nervous and unsure of himself. His gun was pointed at us.
"Security," he announced. "Get your hands up."
"They are up," Summer said.
"Oh,"
said Kevin.
"We're not the bad guys," I told him. "We're the ones who called for you. The hunter was running out of the building."
"Oh," Kevin said again. He lowered his gun sheepishly.
"I didn't see anyone out there."
Another guard suddenly entered the other side of the room, having come in through the exit. She looked slightly older and seemed more competent. But then, the sloth seemed more competent than Kevin.
"Any sign of her?" she asked.
"No," Kevin said. "You?"
"Would I be asking you if you'd seen her, if I'd seen her?" the second guard asked.
"Oh," Kevin said once more. Then he looked at Summer and me.
"Sorry, guys. Looks like she got away."
"Great," I muttered, staring down at the crocodile tank. "The hunter's gone, we nearly died, and all our evidence got eaten."
"We chased her off and got her gun," Summer pointed out, "so maybe she won't come back again."
"You really think so?" I asked. Summer considered it, then frowned.
"No."
"Me neither," I said.